Well, we're so happy to have with us right now a great friend and one of the very best in the business of reporting on the NFL, Chris Mortensen from ESPN. Chris, welcome.
Vic, good to be with you again.
So I know we're in this so-called slow period, but there are things going on that I know you're monitoring, that we're all kind of keeping an eye on. And contractually, I mean, it's impossible with the Saints this offseason for a lot of reasons to keep your eyes off of them. But the thing that I think I find the most astounding is that we sit here in June, in the latter part of June, and Drew Brees' situation contractually is still up in the air.
Yeah, that to me is very intriguing and interesting. I'm privy to the contractual numbers that have been exchanged between the two sides, and we have roles to be unbiased in reporting, and then we have our roles, where we are asked to analyze some of it. And quite frankly, the Saints' position puzzles me. I mean, you can say, hey, we're the one team that took a chance on Drew Brees, even though they gave him a 6-year, $60 million contract when he was coming off a devastating shoulder injury. Now, Drew had been franchised by the Chargers the year before that, and then on his last play of the last game, he tears up his shoulder. Now, Dr. James Andrews, who did the surgery on that shoulder, told me that Brees, his rehab and recovery from that shoulder injury was one in a million. And he's convinced that only it took somebody like Drew. He said he's never seen anybody attack rehab the way Drew did. So my feeling is the Saints got Drew Brees at $10 million a year over the last 6 years at a bargain rate, won a Super Bowl, and he deserves to be the highest paid quarterback in football. And when we say that, that means we're going to come in a little bit over $20 million a year. We always know that structure in the first 3 years is important. But we also know that the next contract, and let's say it's Aaron Rodgers, that'll be more than what Drew Brees is getting.
Right.
And, so there's a little bit of a puzzle here why the Saints are, they like to say we're trying to protect the integrity of our roster. But if you've got cash, and, they've got cash, the Saints do have cash, by the way. I know they just bought an NBA team.
Yeah.
Then you can get this deal done. And so the deadline, September 16th, July 16th, when franchise players have to get a long-term deal done, or else they'll end up playing for their franchise tag.
When we look around the running back position, and that always is intriguing because there's such a limited shelf life. And so if Drew Brees is struggling to get a deal done with the Saints right now, I feel for guys like Matt Forte and for Ray Rice, because trying to get deals done with their respective teams should be that much harder, just because teams are reluctant, I think by nature, to give out a lot of money to backs who have produced well up to the point that their contracts are due and that they're due to hit the market, and they give them franchise tags, because how much is left, in the tank going forward?
Yeah, well, it's how much is left, and it's the shelf life in terms of it's a high risk position. No position takes more punishment for the most part. Adrian Peterson, $14 million a year, and Adrian is going to come back from this injury. But the bottom line is, he did suffer an ACL injury, and so he's recovering from that. I think that's always the dilemma for front offices is, okay, Matt Forte is vital to the Bears. They've offered him a long-term deal. It's just not the type of money he's looking for, and I understand his position because he didn't sign the big contract coming out of college. He wasn't a top pick. He wasn't a, so you understand his position, and somewhere there's just going to be a compromise, because it doesn't make sense if you're Matt Forte to play for the franchise number, because that's 1 year at a little over $7 million for him. It's basically you're going to eventually take the offer that the club has on the table at some point before the season starts. That's the way I see it coming down.
Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mort, want to get your take on the Browns. People always love to hear the national perspective on this team. Lots of excitement over the additions of Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon from the draft. What are you thinking?
You know, it's a work in progress. I've always said, believe that what the Browns need more than anything to get back in this AFC North division on a consistent basis is stability, is a, you know, a plan that goes forward. Nobody blinks in terms of you know, okay, it's time to change coaches. We got to change the front office. I mean, it's just time for stability and you know, go with a plan. And I think that's what Mike Holmgren and Tom Hackert, that's what they're doing. And, you know, on Brandon Whedon, I mean, you know, it's interesting because I remember seeing Brandon the past 2 years at the Manning Passing Academy, you know, that camp that the Manning family holds right down there. And he was very impressive down there. And, that, and this is with guys like Andrew Luck and all those people who have been down there. Even Colt McCoy's even been down there. Right. And I always remember being really impressed, but also kind of like being a little bit prejudiced, saying, yeah, but he's too old. And I almost feel bad because I kind of ignored how he stood out when he was on the same field with those guys. You know, they go down there and they're coach counselors, but there's several opportunities where they get on a field and they throw. And Brandon was always very impressive. And obviously he was impressive at Oklahoma State. And, you know, you kind of understand, you know, why the Browns took him. And you also understand that, you know, if you believe he's a first round quarterback at his age, you know, go play him. And I think he's got a chance to be a good quarterback in this league.
Yeah, he's been impressive, as you've, I'm sure, no doubt heard during off-season workouts, you know, throwing the ball. And obviously things, we'll see what training camp brings, but everything is pointing in that direction that he's the guy to put out there. And I guess when you, this is the other thing, it's that whole age conversation that always comes up when we're comparing what will Andrew Luck do as a rookie, what will Robert Griffin III do as a rookie, and Whedon's in this conversation, but he'd obviously, it would be a different conversation if he brought all those skills to the league as someone who was like 22 years old.
Yeah, well, it would be a different conversation. I mean, you know, those guys were the first two picks in the draft. Brandon was not. And yet, you know, he's definitely got the maturity and some skill sets that allows him to be a starter, and you would hope to be a productive starter for, you know, 7 to 9 years. I mean, you know, these guys, you know, if they take care of their bodies and what have you, I mean, there's no reason to think that he's going to go downhill. You know, that this is just a 3-year window. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see as they add, you know, and increase the roster, get some depth. Obviously, the injury to Phil Taylor didn't exactly boost the confidence. But, man, when you're in this AFC North with the division you're in, which, you know, the Ravens and Steelers have dominated, but the Bengals, we forget that, you know, the Bengals have been to the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years.
Right.
And the team they have right now is pretty good, and they have found their quarterback in Andy Dalton. And, you know, I'm not ruling out the fact that they can go to the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years. So the Browns have a pretty significant gap to close here.
That you led to my, or you anticipated my next point, is how do you see it in this division? It's obviously arguably the toughest in the league, and the challenges are there with what the other teams present, but also it's a talent conversation on the field, but it's also, I think, a coaching conversation as well, right? Brad Childress joins this staff, Nolan Cromwell.
Right.
I mean, they've, I think, some very significant talent has been brought in at that end, and having those offensive coordinator duties now in the hands of a specific assistant coach rather than Pat Shurmur doing the whole thing, those should all be viewed as positives.
Yeah, I think they're positives, and, you know, Brad Childress brings a, you know, he did this with Philadelphia, where he was the offensive coordinator, but, you know, Andy Reid called the plays. And Pat's Shurmur, I'm a big Pat Shurmur fan, and I think Pat's going to be really good. So I think this helps Pat. You know, you have to, you know, we know that to play in this division, you have to be physically, mentally tough football team. I mean, that's what the Ravens and Steelers have. They're not going away. I mean, I could question, you know, hey, will the Steelers really make it back? You know, I'm not sure. As you know, we're going to be talking about Ray Lewis's window and Ed Reed's window closing, but, you know, they've got such a good personnel department that, you know, they've got a foundation. They've got a true organization. The Bengals are interesting to me because, you know, we're seeing some signs there that they're pretty, you know, they've stabilized. So, I, you know, that's why adding a Brad Childress, Nolan Cromwell, those things are good things. It's just getting the 53-man roster to a level where you can go compete, where you can overcome injuries and keep competing and winning games. And I just think there's more building to do. I mean, you just want to be able to add some pieces here over the next year so that, you know, I don't see the Browns contending this year, but you would hope that going forward with by winning games this year, developing the young talent, getting the quarterback some time, then next offseason, critical offseason for the Browns, in which you could say, okay, you know, can they go ahead and finally grab a playoff spot?
On your short list, if you had to just go short list, Mort, who has done the most, you think, so far to help themselves? Draft, free agency, the law. Who's caught your eye this offseason that you're really focused on?
Well, you know, the Buffalo Bills are one of those teams. You know, for me, it's just I think they've done a lot of things to help their defense. You know, offensively, they had some injuries. And I think David Lee, the quarterback coach, is going to help Ryan Fitzpatrick quite a bit. And so, you know, they've done the same thing of signing their own players. I mean, the Eagles have signed their own players. You know, that's part of it is when you draft players, develop players, it's keeping those players when they come to free agency time. And that's tricky, managing the salary cap. So, you know, that's the team that the Bills kind of have jumped out at me for some reason. Obviously, when a Denver gets to pick up a Peyton Manning, that's exciting. I think Peyton will do extremely well. But I look at their schedule and say, heck, you know, this is a much tougher schedule than it was a year ago. I'm one of those guys that says, hey, let's show me the baby in September, October, November, and December, and January.
Okay, well, show you the baby, and you'll see whether it's cute or not.
Like the Bears, they've added Jeremy Bates, who's worked with Cutler. Mike Tyson is the offensive coordinator. Tell me how that's going to work. Brandon Marshall, you know, okay, that should work. But, you know, I want to see it.
Yeah.
I really do.
I'm with you on that. Show me. All right, great stuff, Mort. I really appreciate the time, and we look forward to catching up with you down the line, bud.
All right, Vic, take care.
He is the one and only Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.